Her name was Pilar Ternera. She had been part of the exodus that ended with the founding of Macondo, dragged along by her family in order to separate her from the man who had raped her at 14 and had continued to love her until she was 22, but who never made up his mind to make the situation public because he was a man apart. He promised to follow her to the ends of the earth, but only later on, when he put his affairs in order, and she had become tired of waiting for him, always identifying him with the tall and short, blonde and brunette men that her cards promised from land and sea within 3 days, 3 months, or 3 years. With her waiting, she had lost the strength of her thighs, the firmness of her breasts, her habit of tenderness, but she kept the madness of her heart intact. Maddened by that prodigious plaything, José Arcadio followed her path every night through the labyrinth of the room. On a certain occasion, he found the door barred, and he knocked several times, knowing that if he had the boldness to knock the first time, he would have had to knock until the last, and after an interminable wait, she opened the door for him. During the day, lying down to dream, he would secretly enjoy the memories of the night before. But when she came into the house, merry, indifferent, chatty, he did not have to make any effort to hide his tension, because that woman, whose explosive laugh frightened off the doves, had nothing to do with the invisible power that taught him how to breathe from within and control his heartbeats, and that had permitted him to understand why men are afraid of death. He was so wrapped up in himself that he did not even understand the joy of everyone when his father and his brother aroused the household with the news that they had succeeded in penetrating the metallic debris and had separated Ursula's gold. They had succeeded, as a matter of fact, after putting in complicated and persevering days at it. Ursula was happy, and she even gave thanks to God for the invention of alchemy, while the people of the village crushed into the laboratory, and they served them guava jelly and crackers to celebrate the wonder, and José Arcadio Buendía let them see the crucible with the recovered gold as if he had just invented it. Showing it all around, he ended up in front of his older son, who during the past few days had barely put in an appearance in the laboratory. He put the dry and yellowish mass in front of his eyes and asked him, "What does it look like to you?" José Arcadio answered sincerely, "Dog shit." His father gave him a blow at the back of his hand that brought out blood and tears. That night, Pilar Ternera put arnica compresses on the swelling, feeling about for the bottle and cotton in the dark, and she did everything she wanted with him as long as it did not bother him, making an effort to love him without hurting him. They reached such a state of intimacy that later, without realizing it, they were whispering to each other. "I want to be alone with you," he said. "One of these days I'm going to tell everybody and we can stop all of this sneaking around." She did not try to calm him down. "That would be fine," she said. "If we're alone, we'll leave the lamp lighted so that we can see each other, and I can holler as much as I want without anybody's having to butt in, and you can whisper in my ear any crap you can think of." That conversation, the biting rancor that he felt against his father, and the imminent possibility of wild love, inspired a serene courage in him. In a spontaneous way, without any preparation, he told everything to his brother. At first, young Aureliano understood only the risk, the immense possibility of danger that his brother's adventures implied, and he could not understand the fascination of the object. Little by little, he became contaminated with the anxiety. He wondered about the details of the dangers. He identified himself with the suffering and enjoyment of his brother. He felt frightened and happy. He would stay awake waiting for him until dawn in the solitary bed that seemed to have a bottom of live coals, and they would keep on talking until it was time to get up, so that both of them soon suffered from the same drowsiness, felt the same lack of interest in alchemy and the wisdom of their father, and they took refuge in solitude. "Those kids are out of their heads," Ursula said. "They must have worms." She prepared a repugnant potion for them made out of mashed worm seed which they both drank with unforeseen stoicism, and they sat down at the same time on their pots 11 times in a single day, expelling some rose-colored parasites that they showed to everybody with great jubilation, for it allowed them to deceive Ursula as to the origin of their distractions and drowsiness. Aureliano not only understood by then, he also lived his brother's experiences as something of his own, for on one occasion when the latter was explaining in great detail the mechanisms of love, he interrupted him to ask, "What does it feel like?" José Arcadio gave an immediate reply, "It's like an earthquake." One January Thursday, at 2 o'clock in the morning, Amaranta was born.